everybody. It's Kateri.
And Owen.
And welcome to Tarot Talk by the Soothsayer's Tea. Today, the card of the hour, or half hour, however long this episode is going to be the High Priestess, which is a card of intuition, mystery, higher power, and inner voice.
Secrets. And feminism. But not all the feminism. Yeah. Only a little bit of it. That's the Empress.
Yeah.
It's not a key point, but it is there. Sorry, that's what I'm trying to say.
There is definitely some interesting parallels, which that we're going to get into, especially when it comes to the feminine and the male mm-hmm. gaze. But history of the card, what do you know about the High Priestess? Because I don't think a lot of people know this, and it's very interesting. It's one of my favorite kind of background of the cards, is because a lot of people think it's like some sort of crazy, like, goddess type character, when it's not quite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, funny enough, I think we might have the same niche interest here, because if I'm remembering correctly, before the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, the High Priestess was called the Popess.
Yes.
And drew a lot of symbolism to Pope Joan.
Yes. So Pope Joan, nobody quite knows. Again, historians are kind of in and out on this, if she actually existed or not, or if it was just mm-hmm. It was just propaganda against the Catholic Church.
Yeah. But right now, in terms of the Catholic Church, it is considered apocryphal. It's not canon.
Yes. From the religious side of it. Exactly. It's still up in the air, and it's still hotly debated today. So Pope Joan, according to myth or history, depending on the way you want to slant it, she was basically the actual Pope from 855 to 857, so 2 years. So most modern scholars do consider it fictional. But from what was understood is that she disguised herself as a male, a clergyman. She became a clergyman, and only how she got found out was that she gave birth while she was Pope. And then,
which I personally think was quite a hilarious way to be found out, because I don't even think it was while she was, like, it was while she was Pope, but wasn't it like during a march? Like an actual, like, popely event. It wasn't just, like, in the Pope office or something.
Yeah, it was something popey.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. It was very popey at the end of the day. It was Pope business. So, again, according to the myth or history, depending on where you slant, she died shortly after, whether it had been they killed her or by natural causes, which is could very well, because this was the Dark Ages. This was, a lot of people are just dying for toothaches, for crying out loud. So that is where the history of the card came into, because again, in the original Tarushi cards, is that it was put there almost, again, a bit of a mockery of the church, because the church at the time was more of a political power than an actual spiritual leader.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, that's basically what it was. It was a piss take at the church. It was like, look at this. Pope Joan, the one true Pope.
Yes, exactly. And it's interesting how that kind of appears, because, and it kind of pulls into the meaning of the card itself, is just that this is like a hidden mystery. This is like a conspiracy with the church, that there is a woman, somebody inflicted with vagina in power. Oh, how? Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Yes. So I love that interpretation so much.
And it comes into that bit of the parallel of the dangerous femme or dangerous woman kind of mm-hmm. archetype that kind of permeates the High Priestess in parallel to the Empress, which is like the mother archetype, where the dangerous femme is going to be something that's really comes from the male gaze, right? Where you see men as mm-hmm. See women as something that's kind of like wildly and mysterious and wahaha, and what secret powers do they have? What secret wildly powers that we have? And that's where mm-hmm. Magic in general has been very traditionally, especially the quote-unquote evil magic or the mysterious mm-hmm. magic, has always been associated with women or femme-presenting people.
Yeah, even in terms of, like, folk magic and cursing and stuff like that, it would be these sort of dangerous women. These would be, like, the fairies, like the banshee. Well, not the banshee, that's a bad example. But, like, the Lennon Chi, basically, where we like this dangerous sort of enticing woman who does have secrets and her own motive. And it was created entirely to sort of play into the male gaze and win and use it to their advantage.
Yeah. And it comes into is that the more negative concept of like male gaze, that when things happen to women, it's because it's their own fault. Like, what were they wearing? What were they doing? There's a lot of almost dark history when it comes to the High Priestess because of just how history has kind of treated people who did not subscribe to traditional masculinity. And I don't want to just associate it with women or people who are assigned female at birth. Like, I just want to make sure it's very clear that it's anybody who is considered not a dude. Like, anybody that was in that masculine archetype or personality was always kind of treated with a bit of suspicion. And you see that a lot within the LGBT communities and the stuff that they had to go through, especially when it comes to the society that Western society specifically as well kind of puts on the dangerous femme archetype.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's a lot of different sort of perspectives to see this from. It does have a very sort of twisted history, is I guess I would use.
Yeah.
I'm not fully sort of qualified to speak on this because I myself am not feminine. I was never a woman. And so I will sort of defer to you on this.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I don't want to be... Trust me, I'm the worst type of woman on God's green earth, so I'm not very good at it. I open my mouth too much. But this is the High Priestess is one of my favorite cards, honestly. I have such an attraction to the High Priestess because it does indicate, again, compared to the Magician, and we'll kind of go into parallels with this one. So the Magician, who's very loud, mm-hmm. and it's very much so outside physical sense, the High Priestess is very quiet. It's very much so an inner power. It's knowing.
Mm-hmm. I would sort of see the two of those paired a lot and coupled the same way that the Empress and the Emperor would be coupled as two sides of the same coin. And I do sort of agree with that. I'm not going to lie, between the Empress and the Magician.
Yeah, I would think that when it comes to the Emperor and the Empress, where they're almost at the same level of power, when it comes to mm-hmm. the Magician and the High Priestess, they're actually almost two opposites in that regard, but in that same level of power.
Yeah.
Because when it comes...
No, that's why I was like... Oh, sorry. That's why I like the two sides of the same coin situation, because they are opposites, but they're also so intertwined with each other.
Exactly. Because the High Priestess... Sorry, the Empress and the Emperor are a little more similar because the Emperor can be caring and the Empress can have authority. But when it comes to... the Magician and the High Priestess are kind of polar opposites, but they have this necessity of a duality that makes a person whole. And mm-hmm. we're going to discuss that a little more in future episodes about divine gender and how I'm going to spoil a little bit. People who are non-binary have it all figured out, honestly, because being outside gender or in between gender is actually the most holy place you can be. But the High Priestess is really kind of pushing that secretive femme power, that quiet power, which is scary. The thing is that when it comes to the Magician's not scary because he is showing you all his cards. Again, we've discussed mm-hmm. that, the arrogance of the Magician. Well, the High Priestess is not arrogant, and that's scary to people because you don't know. You just know that when you approach the High Priestess, there is a terrifying power there and you just can't figure it out.
Mm-hmm. It's very much And then, like, as you were saying, that would be one of the opposites with the magician's arrogance and the high priestess's secretiveness?
Yes.
Secretivity?
Yes.
There's a
Secretivity.
word. No, there's a word.
There's a word.
Secretivity?
Secretivity and biggin. We can make them up. It's okay. It's our podcast. We can do what we want.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, exactly. This is our English.
This is our English. And we would be remiss to kind of discuss the Empress as well, because with the difference between the High Priestess and the Empress being both feminine cards is that if anybody's familiar with the Madonna horror complex, where especially coming from male gaze, is that there are men out there that have a hard time like disconnecting sexuality from womanhood. When I say womanhood, I mean like motherhood. Basically, they can't see a woman in a position of being a caretaker and also being a sexual being, which is funny because.
And I think I see this a lot. Sorry,
No,
continue.
please, no, continue.
I see this a lot with the high priest and the high priestess and the empress being lumped in together like this, as sort of being I see it a lot as them being the same and having the sort of same level of power and the level of knowledge, but people treat them differently. And yet they will equate them and call it say that they are the same in terms of misunderstanding the associations of tarot cards, I think.
Yeah, and we don't want to get
That was a
too,
lot of word.
that was a lot of words, but we don't want to get too much into the concept that these cards are gendered in this traditional sense. When I say traditional sense, I mean like in the societal sense, because the High Priestess does not necessarily mean it indicates a female or femme person. It just indicates somebody who has hidden power. And we can kind of discuss that a little bit in our pop culture parallels, because we do have a very good example of that. That is not a female. But it usually it's something, again, it lacks arrogance, because if we want to discuss in the concept of divine gender, where the masculine, quote unquote, magician is arrogant and annoying, the high priestess is scary and deep because it's unknowing.
I think we could probably move into our pop culture references. I think it might help people quite a bit because I know I'm struggling a little bit right now.
That's fair. I just don't want to go back into our parallels, because we did start a little bit of a discussion there when it comes to the conscious, subconscious, and superconscious. And the parallels that you're going to find when you do take a look at the cards in that row is going to be the Hermit and the Tower. So if you can kind of see some parallels, because the Hermit, again, being alone and being quiet, a lot of people don't like that. And that's what makes it scary, because you see the Tower, which is chaos. Uncontrolledness because it's unknown. There's a lot of parallels there when it comes to unknown or learning to work with chaos. So when you are doing your tarot studies, those are the three cards that you want to study when it comes to the concept of unknown: the High Priestess, the Hermit, and the Tower. And that's in the concept of consciousness, subconsciousness, and superconsciousness. But yes, pop culture
And
connections.
the fun stuff,
The
as
fun
I like to
stuff,
call
yes.
it. Well, I'm gonna let you start with the first one because I have not watched Sailor Moon
And
in a very long time, and I have not watched all of
you probably should, again, because it's everything that's fantastic in the world. The
it.
High Priestess is Princess Serenity. So how Usagi, or Sailor Moon, is the fool through and through, Princess Serenity is kind of really her coming into herself, and it's that leader type of situation where she has so much hidden power, and she kind of controls and almost commands a space, and she's quiet and she's calm and she's sweet. And Princess Serenity is a really good example of the High Priestess. And it's, the High Priestess, the one thing that a lot of people don't kind of click in when they appear in spreads and such is that she's very magical. This is very much so hidden knowledge. Often, and we'll go into like our experiences with her, but Princess Serenity is one of my big connections. And you have a connection as well, and I think we have a shared connection and a very
I think we
real
do.
person.
I'm very excited for our shared connection.
Yes.
Well, I have always seen the High Priestess slightly unconventionally in Dumbledore from Harry Potter.
I love that.
I mean, look at him. He even dresses like the High Priestess. Like, there really are an endless number of connections here, but you really see this in Dumbledore. Because, first of all, I feel like the whole point of his character is he is very secretive. He deliberately tells them nothing all of the
Yes.
time, and yet he always gets what he wants.
Yes.
He controls everything behind the scenes, and he doesn't wield that over people. He doesn't hold it over them. He isn't arrogant about it as the magician would be. He's very much, he knows he's in control and he's confident in that, and so he doesn't need to flaunt that power over others.
Exactly.
And so he doesn't. And that is where I see him.
And that's coming into like when it comes to the feminine power, the High Priestess being scary, that's more of a misconception. It's scary because it's unknown, but once you start to get to know yourself, once you start getting comfortable, then you can actually see that these individuals or this archetype is actually soft and kind, if anything. It just that it just has to be navigated because it's not a very physical thing. It's very internal. It's almost like that inner, it's almost like you can't read minds. So what somebody's thinking, that is the High Priestess itself, because they're only going to give you what they want to
That
share
is
with you.
such an extra abstract example. You have fried my little brain.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, that's the thing. What am I thinking of right now? Don't say burgers because then you'll be right. But what am I thinking of right now? You don't know.
The High Priestess, I
Oh, I
hope.
hope so. But when you're looking at somebody and you don't quite know what they're thinking, that's basically the High Priestess like kind of developing itself. And I think
They are the High Priestess in that moment as well, when you don't know what someone's thinking and you want, they have a power over you, especially if it's something that you want to know.
yes, and that comes into our kind of shared pop culture connection, which is Lady Gaga.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
Absolutely.
kind of segue into what I just said. Does anybody know what the hell she's thinking when she pulls up the things that she does? No. Do we love it? Yes.
Absolutely, every second of it is amazing, and it is such a good comparison to the High Priestess in real life, because we can connect to these people, we can see these people, and we don't know anything about her like we do, but do we?
What we do.
Do we actually
No,
know Lady
she's.
Gaga?
Well, again, it's a very. She always shares what she wants to share. And everything that she kind of does has some sort of second meaning. It might be weird as all hell, but it's a second meaning. Like the last music video that she came out with is 911. If you go through it, you realize that it's an entire parallel to a car accident. And you don't realize until the end when she very explicitly tells you. But until then, she's still telling you. But it's just still unknown, and you're there to figure it out. And if anything, it kind of emotionally pulls you in. And her kind of entire like career has been kind of like that. It's been kind of vague and very artsy. This is a very artsy card.
I think, speaking of car accidents, it's very funny that you brought that up, because that did just spark a little memory for me. Anyone who grew up in the UK or Ireland might have seen the RSA ads for road safety when you were younger, that I'm now pretty sure are no longer allowed on television. Because this advertisement also quite embodies the High Priestess. Your watch, it's very normal at the beginning. You might see children playing in a playground, you might see a family in their back garden, and then it will suddenly like switch points of view to a man driving his car, and it will keep swapping back and forth, and it will go very slowly, and you have no idea what's about to happen, but you're enthralled in what is happening, even though you've got no idea what's going on. And then in the reason why it was probably taken off television, the man in the car will like basically plow over the entire family by like
Oh,
going through their back garden
God.
bush. And the advertisement is basically, don't drink and drive.
But until then, you're enthralled, right?
Yeah, but until then, you're losing your mind. You've no idea what's happening. The suspense is building. And this is a very interesting part of my childhood, if you can't tell. This has stuck with me.
It just kind of stuck with you forever. I mean, I think the High Priestess is kind of like every art house film ever. Every art house film ever. Like, if you've ever watched The Lighthouse with Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson, it is a mess
William
of
Defoe.
Yes. So, oh my gosh, watch the movie. It is messed up and nothing makes sense. And but the thing is that before you know it, you're Googling things. You're trying to figure it out. And you're like, oh, this is a reference to this. Oh, this is a reference to that. This is a reference to this. And you're like, there's so much meaning here. And that's where the High Priestess kicks out.
What is that one TV show where they like have to find love or something by a certain age or they get turned into animals? Because that is also the High Priestess. And I know you might not see the show. And if I could name the show, you would agree because you would then watch it. But I promise, if anyone knows the show I'm talking about, that show is also the High Priestess.
Just pop a tweet out.
It might be a movie.
I'll figure it out.
I will. I'll figure it out. I will let you know. I'll figure it out.
So let's go into our experiences with the card. How does it manifest for us when we're doing readings for ourselves and other people?
Well, for me, when I pull the High Priestess, it's sort of a confidence boost for me, I guess. I'm sort of seeing what I could be and what, and also sometimes telling me to shut my mouth a little bit. That happens quite a bit. Sometimes when the High Priestess comes up for me, it's because I'm getting too involved in things that I shouldn't be involved in, like other people's business, or I'm giving opinions that were not needed, stuff like that. And I need to sort of keep that to myself if I want to have any kind of upper hand, in air quotes. Did that make sense? And then the other way around, I don't actually know. I don't really pull the High Priestess that often now that I think about it. I really like the card though. Hold on, let me think for a minute. It's going to depend on the cards around it. It always does with the High Priestess, because if it comes up with the like the Ace of Cups, then I'm a little bit less worried. I'm seeing it a little bit more as like maybe empowerment or maybe stepping into your own in some sort of way. But if it comes up with, for example, the Seven of Swords, then I'm like, okay, so you might be lying to the people around you about a lot, and that's not good. You need to stop that.
Yeah, and we kind of discussed that in our starting your practice episode, one of our future episodes. It's just that a lot of the majors is really going to be dictated by the minors after it. And that's why when I'm going to discuss it here right now, I don't necessarily like just reading with majors, because those are subject cards. Those are going to be cards that are going to be very, very clearly almost your noun. That's going to be the subject at hand. So the only way that I would recommend people going to want to gain clarification on something is to pull an extra card to be able to get a minor so you can find the action behind it. So for me, when it comes to the High Priestess, it almost always says go within. Instead of necessarily looking for external factors, find the internal factors. Why things are happening, or why are you thinking this way? It's telling me to trust my gut. Now, there is a bit of a parallel when the moon comes to intuition. I don't read the moon as intuition. I read that more of lunacy. I read the High Priestess as intuition. It's either going to be intuition, or it's going to be there's something hidden from you. There's knowledge that you need to know that you have to seek. That is important. That is pertinent to this situation that you're reading for. So that's what I have to, again, trust my gut. Does it mean that I need to really keep pushing on trusting my gut, or do I have to push further and find out what's going on here? Usually it's information. I don't necessarily see it as a negative card, but I see it when that comes up, that there's stuff being hidden from me. And it doesn't necessarily have to be like a negative thing, because often when this card comes up, I see a lot of people read it negatively, like it's either gossip or slander, or people are intentionally hiding something from you. It doesn't necessarily mean that way. It just could be that your head's so far up your own arse that you can't reflect to be able to find out what the real truth is.
Yeah, I think this is sort of the first like tarot talk card that we've had sort of more differing opinions on. Usually we're pretty much in like almost up there agreement. I think I read the High Priestess as a little bit more externally than you do, or most so I use the High Priestess to sort of diagnose external symptoms before I dive within, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and that comes into the beauty of reading, honestly. As long as you're not going like completely crazy on your interpretation.
Actually, the High Priestess tells me that your mother doesn't love you and that you will never, ever find a boyfriend.
Yeah, it tells you that if you, like, keep eating dairy, that means your face is breaking out. That's what it's telling you, because there's, like, hidden bacteria on your face.
Exactly. And it's from the dairy. It's you can tell because...
High Priestess dairy is bad for you. No, joking aside. For me, it's very much so. It's an internal card. Because I very much so, and again, I think that comes into my personal practice and the deities that I work with, which are very chthonic. They're very, like, kind of deep and hidden, is that I see that as a very internal thing. Well, I find the, again, parallel to the Magician. And the reason why we make these parallels, because these cards are beside each other within the Fool's Journey, so they do kind of connect. So in parallels to the Magician, that's very external, that's very action-oriented. The High Priestess is very, it's very internal. It's very almost slow down, stop, think. It's mindfulness. It's mindfulness, not in a way that the Hermit is, because the Hermit is very much so, it's a retreating into yourself and shutting yourself off from everything external. Where the High Priestess is that consider all your external factors and look deeper. Look deeper, reflect on those.
Yeah, absolutely. I almost agree with you there.
You know what? If you don't agree with me, then we're done. No, honestly, I do. There's no right or wrong way. Well, there is, never mind. There's a complete wrong way to write tarot, but there's no, for this and...
Within reason, there's no wrong way to interpret tarot cards.
Within reason, absolutely. There's no, like, we just have a different way of approaching it. But I think that the way that you are approaching it, it's not wrong. Honestly, it's completely valid. It's just not how I like to approach it, just because it's just how it anchors
in. You're edgy and deep.
I'm edgy and deep. I mean, yeah. Well, that, and it just anchors differently in me. Like how these cards
I understand.
Should anchor differently in everybody when you're doing the walk. Walking the cards and doing as you do.
Yeah, I think this has been a great lesson for people who are reading, who are listening. We are reading.
We're doing because something.
Look, we're disagreeing, but we're not actually disagreeing because the other person's opinion is valid, and that's tarot.
Yeah,
but not always.
Unless you're like taking, like, again, the High Priestess out of the deck because it's just weird and you just don't understand it and it's gross. Then we're fighting.
That's a little annoying, I'm not gonna lie.
A little annoying. I want, like, I can instantly feel my hair turning gray and falling out of the root right now just thinking about it.
We are once again, we cannot talk about this 3 episodes in a row.
Are you sure?
Because I can't talk about spirit. Listen, I'm not saying we can't, I'm saying we shouldn't. It's probably for the best if we leave the spiritual bypassing for the actual episode that we have it planned for.
Oh yes. Oh yes, baby, that's
the plan, remember? Yeah. You know we have a plan. We definitely we planned ahead. We're doing great. We're doing great, okay?
No, we're not. So alrighty, I think that's it. I think we talked the High Priestess out the door.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, good luck, everyone. My name is Owen Onkylock. You can find me on Instagram at Owen Onkylock, on Twitter at Owen Onkylock, and you can buy readings from me and check out my website, where I occasionally will post some blog posts, shopokylock.com. You won't be able to spell anything I just said, I'm presuming including my first name, and that is why the links will also be in the description below.
Yes, and my name's Kateri. You can find readings from me, whether they be written PDF readings or scheduled Zoom readings if you want to speak with me directly. And that's going to be at Vinoxys.
Why you'd want to do that, I cannot tell. I have
no idea. But it's vinoxys.net. Alternatively, you can also find me on Instagram and regretfully Facebook. And also on Vevo and maybe TikTok. I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet. Oh, thinking about
it. I'm on Vevo and TikTok. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I forgot about those. TikTok, I don't know. TikTok scares me, but I'm thinking about it. Because I do daily, again, I do daily polls.
TikTok, my account is private on. So. Because same.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So we'll think
we also have Instagrams and Twitters for this podcast.
Yes, we do. So I take care of the Instagram, which is the Soothsayers_T.
And I run the Twitter, which is the same username, soothsayers underscore T.
Yes, and you will find updates from us there for each episode, which we have two per week, one on Monday, which we discuss each tarot card in depth, and then on Fridays, which is our feature episode, which we are going to, you know what, discuss whatever we feel like it in pertaining to the spirit of the card.
Yeah. Perfect. We'll see you all on Friday.
See you all on Friday. Bye.
Bye.